I've got the privilege of welcoming the Director and Chief Executive of Scottish Chambers of Commerce, Liz Cameron. Now, Liz is an entrepreneur in her own right, and she heads up, as I say, the Scottish Chambers of Commerce. So she looks at developing young workforce from the perspective of employers. She's a parent, and so she also looks at it from the perspective of parents. And I think tonight, the phrase I would use is that Liz is not afraid to call a spade a spade. She hopefully will set some heather alight, be a wee bit challenging, and really address how parents can be involved in this agenda. Up until now, we've really only heard about how schools are going to be working on developing young workforce, but I believe that parents actually have enormous potential to be involved in that agenda. So can you please welcome Liz Cameron?
Thank you very much, Eileen. No pressure then. First of all, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a great pleasure for me to be invited to address your association this evening. I was recollecting with a little smile when I was preparing for this evening the first time in my career I ever addressed a group of parents. Not an audience I was familiar with, in very unfamiliar circumstances. It was a lecture hall in a secondary school, and deja vu comes to mind this evening. And for some bizarre reason, I decided to adopt what was then a trendy new management technique in delivering presentations called mind mapping, which some of you obviously know about. Having never been trained on it, never delivered from a mind map prior to that evening, I spent most of the presentation trying to follow little boxes than saying anything which was comprehensible at all. So I think it's fair to evaluate it was probably one of the worst presentations I've ever made. Lessons learned, don't try out new techniques. And if so, make sure it fits with your presentation style. So I'm sticking with words this evening. Now, that was some 20 years ago when I was launching a new business education partnership called Compact, which some of you in the room may in fact remember. I've got to say it was one of the most satisfying and informative partnerships I have ever personally been involved in, which is why I have subsequently spent my career promoting the absolute importance of building effective, and I'll repeat that word, effective, education, business, parent partnerships. Get the foundation right and the rest follows easily. I want this evening to take you through a little bit about my story, a little bit about my personal educational journey, which I think may differ from some of you in the room, why I believe partnerships are important, and why I am so passionate about the need for us all to get it right. It's important from a business perspective, and indeed, having brought up two children who are now young adults, for us parents and leaders to do as much as we can to help guide them, inform them, and support young people in what is becoming a very complex, fast-changing, and at times very confusing workplace environment. Finally, what tools do we all have available right now to help us connect with the business world, with education? And do we all in this room use them effectively as we can? As parents, we're extremely, extremely influential and powerful advocates. If we have that ambition, if we get our message right and the structures to enable change to happen easily. Why do I believe this is all very important? Because if we fail as parents and as business leaders to support our young people through whichever route is most effective for them, then the drag on Scotland's economy will severely affect our global competitiveness. That is why we need skilled people. And that should always be at the centre of a joint vision as we move forward. Let me say a little bit about my personal journey and experience through the education system. This will only be the third time in my career that I touch on my own journey. The first time was in St Margaret's Church on Princes Street here in Edinburgh, where I was being interviewed by Douglas Fraser, an experience never to be repeated. The second time was at a university prize giving, and now addressing your association tonight. I find it a difficult task to speak about oneself in these circumstances, but I believe it is relevant for this evening's lecture and perhaps gives you an insight into my personal and my unwavering professional passion for developing education partnerships. I do have a burning desire to lead change and to introduce real innovation into our schools and colleges, and I would emphasise real innovation. I left school a while back with zero or very limited career guidance. My route, I attended a local high school, where at that time, the majority of the focus on leaving was either two routes, go to university or get apprenticeships or a job, with nothing else in between. Quite different from today, or is it? Academically, I could have gone to university, but I didn't want to. I had no role models to follow then. None of my four siblings had gone down that route, and I'm sure you all know others today in a similar environment. Age 16, I left school, going on to full-time education at my local college. I spent the next year doing office and business studies. I then got a full-time job, whilst at the same time spending the next nine years, attending day release and evening classes at college. But I even ended up becoming, believe it or not, a part-time lecturer in the evenings for an additional 6 years, while still progressing through the private sector, delivering and developing business support initiatives and setting up businesses. My own personal hunger for learning, and indeed achieving, continued through many senior positions in the private sector. I even managed to achieve a master's at Strathclyde when my daughter was 9 months old, again through evening classes. I've achieved all of the above through the support of my parents. At that point in my life, raising two children with a husband who worked internationally, I know, and I'm sure many of you in this room share that knowledge, appreciate the value of having parental or carer support at particular points in our lives. The reason I'm drawing out my personal situation all those years ago is that we seem to now be listening that much closer to what business is asking. And we seem to be returning to promoting vocational training, the new modern apprenticeships, and other equally respected and highly regarded routes to achievement. Indeed, a great push forward that further education has other avenues, not only or necessarily leaving school and going to university. Now we have much more exciting and real avenues for young people to consider. As parents, and indeed business leaders, I think we all need to be quite clear what role we can play to ensure that our young people are engaged, are really enthused, and able to take up the future job opportunities which Scotland has to offer. Simply put, it is about identifying and really nurturing that talent, which we all have, in my opinion. As far as the Compact Partnership I referred to previously, I spent 6 months developing a team comprising at that point in time of career guidance, staff, school management teams, businesses and parents. It was both extremely challenging for me, but in the end, so rewarding and educational. Effectively, we ran it for nearly 8 years, and the business ask was quite simple. We were looking for an improvement in the baseline for every individual, irrespective of their starting position. And in return, our business network group across the west of Scotland, what were we giving? We were guaranteeing them jobs. And I'll use the word guarantee because that's what we delivered. and it worked. My second point I'd like to go on to now is, why is this so critical for business? And why have I decided that I'm going to spend an awful lot more effort and energy in getting that message out? I've been engaged in setting up businesses and groups for nearly 30 years. Scottish Chambers of Commerce is an organisation which represents over 26 chambers all over Scotland, and some of you may in fact be engaged with them at a local level. Collectively, we employ 175 staff with a joint turnover of just over £8.5 million. But we are small, separate businesses in our own right. As SCC, my business turnover is just over £1.5 million, up to £2 million, depends on what I do in each year. And I directly employ 10 staff. So I run that as a small business as well. That keeps me challenged and keeps me awake at night. I'd share that point with you. What do we do in the chambers? We carry out research. We provide business support. We provide exporting services to business. And we also keep an eye on how Scotland's economy is doing. We engage very heavily on policy development and influencing governments here in Edinburgh and also in London. We are, I like to think, a little check on what they're doing. But our advice, funnily enough, is not always fully appreciated. Can't understand why. Or, in some cases, they don't listen to business. But we've continued to make it our business to stay engaged in the many, many, many myriad of developments involving young people and graduates. Indeed, as Scottish Chambers, we got involved in 2014 with launching a new graduate recruitment programme. We were asked to do so by the government because we had too many unemployed and underemployed graduates in certain parts of Scotland. We placed over 500 unemployed graduates into jobs, but particularly only in small and medium-sized businesses. And we did that within 4 months. That was because the talent was good and our connections were good, and we actually worked in partnership together. We've also explored, again in some detail, the current educational initiatives, new education business partnerships, and you will know the list goes on. Mentoring in schools, curriculum for excellence. That was going to be our saviour for business anyway, and many others. But always, our questions remain. Are they working? Are they really making a difference to our young people and to the destination as to where they go and to those in schools? Are we, and I hope I'm not offending anyone by using this expression, are we as purchasers of that product? And that product is the young people themselves. Are we all satisfied with the results? And are young people satisfied after working very, very hard with their end outcome, whether it be in business or academia or elsewhere? In some cases, yes, we have immense talent here, but in others, not so much. So what needs to change, or do we need to change anything? Wherever I go in my work for SCC, the same points are brought out. Whether I'm discussing procurement, whether I'm discussing transport projects, whether I'm discussing education, we still have immense skill shortages. We still have gender issues for specific jobs and specific sectors. Are colleges and universities really, truly gearing up for the actual business need now and in the future? And where are they getting the data from that would tell them what that need is? Because in my simple world, the funding council should be funding areas of discipline, areas of focus and areas of sector that businesses need and young people will flourish in. There still, in my view, remains too many unanswered questions, and worse still, a perception that all is well and there really is no need to make any significant change. I would strongly advocate that we do need to stop and take stock and possibly consider doing things in some areas in a different way. From a business perspective, we are concerned, as we need to engage more heavily with schools, young people, and what can often be, for business, a very missing link, and that is parents, or indeed carers. But in a qualitative way, do not work with us merely counting numbers again. We will not go round the table on that basis. It's quality we're after, and quality partnerships, and quality engagement. There are many external factors driving business, and our joint role, because yes, we're business people here, there's also a number of them of us that are also parents, and that's an interesting dilemma, having a 26-year-old and a 23-year-old right now. But our role as parents, I'm sure that you'll agree, is to ensure that we all do as much as possible to get that knowledge, get that data, and help guide teachers, help guide guidance advisors in our schools, and indeed, in some cases, ourselves. Global competition, you've probably heard it before, is absolutely increasing. Some may think that that's got absolutely nothing to do with us here in Scotland. That's somewhere else. Well, if we are really to grow our economy and create jobs, it absolutely does concern us. We need to think, all of us, and we need to start playing globally. There are many potential markets out there, old and new, that we are and can compete in. And we need skilled people to enable us to seize the opportunities and confront the challenges of trading in a global marketplace. They are, we talk about languages, cultural awareness, and digital skills, to name but a few. I was quite appalled a few months back when I heard about schools closing down, in some cases, language departments. And my frustration came to the fore, and I went into Scottish Government to say, why are we doing this? Business needs young people coming out with languages. We desperately need it if we're going to compete. So straight away, there's this mismatch between business need and how we're going to grow opportunity. Let me focus a little bit on the digital scenario for a moment. This is the first year that our so-called millennials, and for those of you like me didn't know what that meant when I heard it at first, that's individuals aged 18 to 34. I think I've just missed it. But the millennials are now outnumbering the baby boomers in the workplace. And again, some of you may be a baby boomer. And with that change comes immense change in the workplace. Very different to perhaps when some of us entered the workplace a few years back. The majority of our millennials have grown up with technology, and you'll know that, and appreciate as consumers of that technology that digital and life skills are absolute requirements in every sector of the business world and indeed the educational world, whether it's manufacturing, tourism, bioscience, retailing, wholesale, business services, finance. We can all go on and list them. In other words, it impacts on every business, in every sector, and every size of company. All leaders in the private, public, and third sector need to understand the importance of digital skills and embed, and how they're embedded in everything we teach and advise. Are our schools geared up for that challenge? Question mark. Economic prosperity for Scotland has to be anchored in an international, successful, highly skilled economy. The world of digital, and in particular e-commerce, is a critical part of that for every industry, and digital skills are absolute essentials for every part of our society. There are still some pretty shocking statistics out there when we talk about digital skills. Across the UK, 10.5 million adults lack the basic core IT skills. 6.5 million have never even been online. Over 4 million adults living in social housing have no access to any IT connection whatsoever. So think about those individuals trying to live in the world that we're in today. And today, as your chair mentioned, being International Women's Day, often females are most seriously impacted, and helping them access the digital world also has the benefit of opening that world to our children. This can be as simple as creating a CV online. Some of us do that without even thinking about it. Using Google, social media, learning how to attach a document, an email. We think that's basic. In fact, sometimes it's actually history now. There are individuals out there that are parents who don't even have that advantage. This all sounds quite gloomy. So what is actually working? And perhaps, what is changing? Commentators and businesses are referring outside just now to our digital disruptor, or digital disruptors. Who would have thought that our much-loved taxis in Edinburgh would be under threat by worldwide Uber? Or, I hope there's no taxi drivers in the room tonight, or the introduction of yet another new app, Deliveroo, delivering fresh food to our doorsteps. We don't need to move. In short, business models and skill needs are changing on a daily basis. Even business is not always aware of what tomorrow's jobs will look like, only that digital skills will be at the core. Many of our large corporates employ futurists. And when I first heard that, I thought, that must be a really special person that can look into the future and tell us all what it's going to look like. And I thought, I must meet them. I did. We've got Google, we've got Facebook, we've got BT, we've got all of them employing teams of futurists, all trying to guess what our future technology and needs are going to be so that they can lead that technology boom. But it does bring into focus the challenge facing all of us as leaders. And I want to emphasise that word because that's what we all are. It's not another person's job or role to lead our agenda, whatever that is. It's us that should be doing that. What else can I share with you on business need and perhaps additional successes? Codebase, a technology learning centre, which employs individuals, and the average age right now is 27. Probably come knocking on my door later, I assume. But it's also the fastest growing incubator unit in the United Kingdom. 30% of all UK tech startup businesses come from Scotland. Scotland's also home to two unicorns. Again, I've got all these new terminologies that people, I learn from people. What that means is a term for any tech startup company, came from the States, usual, which reaches $1 billion market value. So we've got a couple of unicorns. We have Skyscanner and Fangio to name two. But we also have other several companies that are turning over multi-million pounds in overseas sales, thanks to the new channels that e-commerce opens up. One of them, so we've got the billion-dollar tech companies too, Jen Ortiz, Linwood Renfrewshire. Would you believe through e-commerce they are now selling and have tripled their turnover wholesale tea to China and India? I did say the world is opening up. It's opened. Toolstop of Hamilton has £10 million in sales last year. Much of that from selling, believe it or not, Bosch power tools to Germany. So that's all great. So do we actually have a problem, or is, again, perception, everything is going well? Simply that these success stories are standouts when they should be the norm for Scottish business. We simply don't have enough people who know what they are doing in these fields, and we desperately need them. You all know we've got fewer young people choosing to study science and technology, engineering, math. But we've known that for the last 15 years. So what are we doing about it? Thousands of highly skilled, highly paid jobs in Scotland remain unfilled. Gender compounds this issue even further. Fewer young women are choosing technology as a career. A recent study which interviewed over 4,000 12-year-olds and their parents revealed that by the age of 12, girls had decided that IT was for the boys. 14% of the parents interviewed said they already had some idea of what would be good careers for their daughters. Really? Given that 51% of our population is female, so by not addressing this gender issue and getting more females into these positions, we are missing out on the talent of half of our population. So what is happening at home and at schools, which means that young girls are switched off this career as an option because they have the skill, they've grown up with technology, and they probably don't appreciate the talent that they actually have. There's no one answer to this problem, and we do need multiple interventions. We have Skills Development Scotland, didn't we? We welcome the substantially increased investment in what they are regarding as work-based pathways. We've now got new graduate-level apprenticeships. We now have technician-level apprenticeships. We now have new foundation-level apprenticeships. And most recently, new graduate-level, the word modern was added in, modern apprenticeships, which have been built up by specific sectors driven by business. But are we all fully aware of these and really what they have to offer? CGI is another global IT company. They announced recently, came into Scotland about 3 years ago, announcing recently they would be creating 250 software development jobs in Glasgow, a further 220 in Edinburgh, plus 60 modern sectoral apprenticeships. In other words, they want to take young people from school and train them towards what they need in the business, in their business, and also pay and train them going forward into university or college. That's a pretty good deal as far as I'm concerned. But they're not alone in that. Business, and I'm really delighted to see it now happening more than it's ever done, is stepping up and taking that leadership role very seriously. You might say they have to. We have to. Yes, we do. Everyone interested in Scotland remaining competitive and in addressing this massive digital divide has a role to play. We have government, education, business, career advisors, or whatever they're called, and most importantly, you in the room tonight as parents, you have a massive contribution to make. And I would challenge you making it. I could go on and on, but I hope I have given you a very brief flavour of the business need, and I'm only scratching the surface for you. Finally, I'm not certain how familiar you all are with Scottish Government's focus on developing the young workforce. I know from a brief discussion I've had with one or two of you, some of you are very, very well informed. Can I just take a show of hands? How many of you actually know about the government's strategy and programmes for developing Scotland's young workforce? Oh my goodness, you're actually very well informed. I think I'll go and sit down and you can address me then. Delighted to see that, actually. I mentioned at the beginning of my address that there seemed to be little improvement in relation to tackling skill shortages. We still remain, in my view, we are failing to convince, or failing to educate, or failing to message young people and those in an advisory or influencing capacity for the need for us to take a giant leap forward to change. The Scottish Government formed a commission which was led in 2013-2014 by Serene Wood of the Wood Group, who, like many others in business, had concerns as to whether we were on the right track, or did we have to come into perhaps a lay-by and recheck our navigation system as far as careers guidance and education was concerned. He spent over a year talking with business leaders, educationalists, careers advisors, Skills Development Scotland, and many, many others involved in this agenda. This culminated in a report being produced in June 2014. I'm only going to, for those of you who have, how many of you have actually seen or read the report? Good, excellent, you're really educated. I'm not going through all of the recommendations. I'm only intending to focus on the ones that really interest me in terms of my business point of view and my desire to ensure that every young person is able to take their place in employment or otherwise. Basically, some of the recommendations began to focus, first of all, on ensuring that we adequately and qualitatively prepare young people for employment, whatever their choice was. They also wanted and asked for employers and local authorities and SDS to look very closely at the quality standards within schools for career guidance and to look at whether we could actually have a consistent approach in every school, rather than pockets of excellence and some not so good. They also want a stronger focus on work experience and to ensure that was part of the school inspections. Work experience, and as parents, I certainly know that I was in the receiving end of it. You know, there's different ways, whether have a centralised work experience system and all the local employers go into that database. Or the other side is that as part of the learning and development, we request our young people to go out and find their own placement. And it's the third week in June, and go and find it and tick a box. That's not good enough. It's not good enough in anybody's book. It's still not good enough from a business perspective. We are advocating that we want work experience, first of all, spread out throughout the year. Some schools are doing that. But more importantly, start to customise that, start to match that up with a young person's aspiration. And if they don't know, then let's spread it out over 3 or 4 weeks and give them work tasters. Business would sign up for that tomorrow, and we're doing it in some areas. If I think back to my own situation with my son, he ended up for his 6 weeks summer holidays all over Scotland working. First of all, he was told by some careers advisor that he should become an advocate. So he came home and said, "Mum, what does an advocate do?" And I said, "I have no idea. I just know he earns lots of money." So he spent a week in an advocacy office in Edinburgh and came home and said it wasn't for him. And I quite fancied him going into engineering, as parents have no influence whatsoever on their child's choice. But anyway, he had 3 weeks with the Engineering Association and came home and said, "No, don't want to do that either." And then the decision and choice starts to become a bit more clearer. They also recommended the industry-led quality improvement on the modern apprenticeships. That it was industry, it was business, it was looked very closely, and work with SDS and others to ensure that the apprenticeship programme was top quality and the best that business could offer and the best that business could do. And that's an interesting one. And one of the other ones which it came out in the report was employability was to become a key focus for Education Scotland in terms of quality inspections and assurance. We were also to look at forming 3 to 5 year partnerships between business and schools. I looked at that and thought, well, what are we currently doing? Because I thought that this was already happening across Scotland. And again, quality comes into that focus. We might have partnerships. We might have 50 partnerships in one secondary school and 20 in a primary. Are they working? And if they are, that's fantastic. But how can we make them better? And the final one for me was to look at voluntary levy schemes for skill shortage areas. And again, business was to put its hand in its pocket and start looking at the levy schemes. So the research was done, the report was produced, So what's actually been put in place? Well, first of all, the Scottish Government ring-fenced £3 million. You might think it's not an awful lot in some of your budgets. I think that's quite a wee bit. But is it enough? We were also to look at establishing, first of all, a Scottish national panel that was to oversee the development and establishment of what they were calling... Well, I think it's actually... This is the third time we've been rebranded. So if I get it wrong, please excuse me, but it was to be to set up the developing the work, Scotland's Young Workforce Panels across Scotland. Let me introduce for a moment to you the panel currently. First of all, it's been chaired by Rob Woodward from STV. We have Colin Boren from FSB. We also have Suzanne Burns. She actually looks after all the HR and training for STV. Myself. We have Ayrshire College through Heather. Sylvia, who's an HR specialist, who is also on the original strategy group from Aberdeen. Elma from North Ayrshire Council. Graeme Smith from the STUC. John Stewart from SSE. And Graeme Waddle from Energy and Biogas. Quite an interesting mix of both corporates, public sector and private sector. And I've got to say, so far, we're gelling pretty well together. We did have our first meeting in January 2015. What was it we think that we have been asked to do on behalf of government and also, more importantly for me, on behalf of business, parents and young people? First of all, the mission. Everybody's got to have a mission. We don't have a mission, we don't know where we're going. The word sustainable jumps out, and I want to just talk about that in a moment. We needed to develop an industry, business-led approach to all of this. It's interesting that when we came round the table, the industry-led approach was to focus on supporting employers to engage with the education system and to recruit more young people. I've got to say, the education system is difficult to navigate. And even for me, that I would say I know part of it, but it still is exceptionally difficult, particularly for small and medium-sized businesses. That needs to change. We were to support the development, as I said, in the setting up of some national framework group. But these groups must add value. How many times have we heard that? What additionality are you bringing to the table? And therefore, the question we were asking is, what do we all mean by add value? Let's define that. Because if it's more of the same, I can assure you SEC wouldn't be engaged in it and I'd walk away from it. We wanted to find sort of a place in which we could really work together and communicate freely. And I referred earlier to my compact experience, and I've got to say there was some meetings between, it was my local employer network that was leading it, and those early days were quite fraught at times between our schools, our management teams in schools, our parents, our young people and business. But more importantly, I'd like you to focus on that last point. We want to deliver a massive culture change, not just in the employer community and its relationship with education, but we're adding in ourselves a massive culture change in education. The criteria for setting up these local panels, and they must be local, and they must be business-led. And it says at the top, private sector leadership. And by that, I mean, we've all been in committees and groups where the private sector roll in, sit down, tick a box and roll back out again. That's not the kind of partnership that we want to be establishing here. The add value chain, and that is all very much quantifiable. We wanted any local panel that was interested in doing business with us to have a clear plan as to how they're going to engage employers truly in this agenda. We also wanted to ensure that they'd clear, and I'm usually not a numbers person, but I always like to know where we are in terms of success or otherwise. So we wanted clear priorities and clear KPIs. That was interesting because for me, you know, we can't measure our journey until we know what our starting position is. It was quite amazing the amount of data that was not available from our educationalists and from our schools in terms of baseline. But that's fine because now we're on track to obtain that data. So that's improvement and that's fine. the commitment to the long-term sustainability. That's always the interesting one when we get anybody gets government funding. It's, we'll pump prime fund it, we'll give you X, and then 2 years you'll be self-sustaining. So what does that mean? That means that the thought may be that education will fund it once we get it all set up. And bear in mind that majority of situations in any public sector organisation with massive budget cuts, they're absolutely not going to be putting their hand in their pocket to fund this post 3 to 5 years, unless they actually change the way they go about their business and unless they see clear benefits resulting from it. And that applies to business and should apply to parents as well. The alignment issue, I'm not going through it, but it was to be aligning with existing activity. And I've got to say, our attempts to map the existing activity probably could fill this whole room on the walls with what's going on, and there's just too much. So I'll come back to that in a moment about success. Well, I'll touch on it for a moment, because the success we looked at, the bottom line is we want more young people in employment. We want those broader opportunities to be available for young people. And we want permanent behavioural change among the employers and educational communities. So this is not another business partnership that's coming along. This is about behavioural change and behavioural culture from all of us. And also, we do want a sustainable model that is going to take us the next 20 years to build this. As I said when I came around the table, this is our last go at this. We've tried for the last 20 years, and in some cases, we collectively are still failing. So in my view, I want to make this a success, and we certainly can't do that on our own. In terms of regional groups, the story so far, when we started, and I said the first meeting was in January 2015, we've now set up and we've funded groups to be set up in Murray, Inverness, Aberdeen, Perth, Glasgow and Edinburgh. That was the first cohort groups coming in. We've also now also approved new groups in these geographical areas. We've also approved at our last meeting another 6 coming on board. And our final phase and future plans will be to your left-hand side. We're working up with business groups, with educationalists, with local authorities, and in some cases, parents, but not at all, because we want to make sure that the need is driven by the local community, not by something that's coming in from the side on us. It's got to be driven by the local business community. So the question for me now is, how can you, as a Scottish Parents Association, get on board? And in fact, do you actually want to? My message is quite simple. You are an absolute core part of these partnerships and must please become involved. Not on the side, but at the centre, at the core. Who better? When my children were younger, and you've probably all done it, the first thing I did was I wanted to influence change in the local primary schools. So I'll sign up for the school parent board. And I went along. But I quickly decided and learned very quickly it was the wrong forum for me. Because for what I as a parent wanted to achieve, it had no influence. But in fairness, was actually set up to do that? And we've obviously had a lot of other forums and groups and community partnerships being formed, led by yourselves, that have taken over that agenda. But today's environment is different, but it still remains very confusing. So where do you focus your very valuable time to make that difference? I would suggest and ask that you help develop and expand that leadership and lead that agenda forward. Please get engaged with those local panels at the very outset. In fact, demand a place. It will be extremely well received, certainly by business. Ask questions. Get quarterly reports on how this is moving in your particular local environment. How are we doing against those key performance indicators which the group has bought into and signed up to? Are we achieving that success? And that is very, very important, because all too often everybody comes up with these wonderful targets. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. 20 years on, there's areas where we have made no difference whatsoever, and yet we've put in massive investment of our valuable time and of finance. So look at it very carefully. You might also want to consider developing your own local parent panels if you've not already done that through your structures. Feeding in, or I would strongly advocate being part of that infrastructure, because it will be here to stay. Parents can connect directly with business. So let's create those structures and partnerships to enable that to happen. I, as we all do, have continually referred to young people in my address. I'd like to share a short video clip, and it is very short, and it did form what was the Ayrshire panel's presentation to us for funding, and it was that partnership's made up of the local Ayrshire Chamber of Commerce, three local authorities, and that's a big ask working together, but they do work very well in that area, and the business community. So if my digital skills work, if I press a button, that might happen. Thank you.
The local companies could be more available and kind of show up at school and make it more obvious what they do.
Come into the school and tell us actually what they work for. Say, like, for teaching, for example, they would probably go for people who can speak another language, who can do geography, like a range of subjects. But like, to actually come in and tell us like what the different type of jobs you can get, taking them and seeing what we need and what they would like us to have for coming in, for giving them their life.
Like from you as well,
Danny,
it'd be great to have someone to put you in touch and say to me, oh, okay, you need math, but you don't just need to get in, you need to use math when you get in the area to start this job and then this job, instead of just saying, well, you just need that. And then it'd be better to have an actual explanation of what you need it for.
I believe we need to get in more careers advisors, not just have one, and maybe have them in different days. The careers advisor in the school just now is only in 7 days, or not. That doesn't suit everybody to book an appointment then.
I think we should ask us first what we want to do and then try and work around that. Because I'm pretty sure there's been more than one person wanting to go do a cooking job, like go out and try something cooking, or more than one person want to go do something sports involved. So just kind of ask what can work around that.
Well, that was what I wanted to do in the leave school. I went to voluntary grammar school where I worked with the younger ones and got the insight of actually working in a classroom. However, at times I'd rather that I could actually work with the children, as in helping them do what they're meant to do, and actually teach a class to try and get that side of it. I believe that being interviewed when you go for your work experience would be beneficial, as you will have a better understanding of what happens when you go into an interview, the way you need to dress for an interview, and how strict it may be or how it may not be.
Okay, thank you for that. So it's interesting just listening to young people. There's all those different sections of that video, because we've got the employer section and we've got another two sections, and that was part of their pitch to say, we're going to be looking at change, we're going to be coming in, and you know, And they've actually got two young people on their panel as well. And again, we're actively encouraging as many local groups to have parents and the young people at the centre of the decision making and influencing. So in summary, and you'll be glad to know, I believe we do have a one-off opportunity to deliver this fundamental change that I'm talking about for the benefit of our young people and indeed those who advise and guide them. School and college staff are embracing this agenda and are valuing the support it can provide. We simply cannot expect an individual coming out of school, university and then back to school to be fully aware of what's going on in the business world. And yet we expect them all to have the answers. Curriculum for Excellence and other public sector interventions are there to support. But business and parental leadership and drive will ensure we collectively achieve sustainable and long-term valuable results. Let's all ensure that we stop the continual behaviour of announcing yet more new initiatives. And I'm emphasising this is not another initiative. We're setting out to achieve culture change. This is about changing the way we do behave, the way we work together in real partnership and making sure that success is achievable for every young person who leaves school. All of us in the room tonight, I know we have the passion and we also have the power to lead that change. And I would ask on behalf of the business community all over Scotland that you embrace with us this challenge and this work. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a pleasure to have been invited along this evening. And I would only leave you with a please again, as a passionate please. Let's actually all go and make it happen together. Thank you very much.